From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the next portion of a message entitled Sealed with the Spirit. The text is Ephesians chapter 1, the second part of verse 13, in whom, after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. In verse 3 of this chapter, Paul states that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Part of those blessings involves this sealing by the Spirit. In the first place, this seal places the Spirit's distinctive mark on all believers in Christ. Although that mark may be more obvious in some Christians than in others, it must be there to some extent, or else the person is not saved. As we'll see on today's broadcast, it is a seal indicating divine ownership, showing that the believer belongs to Christ. Dr. Cairns will come to the message in a few minutes. First, he takes a bit of time to speak about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, a blessed truth with which he deals in a booklet called A New Beginning.
Death is the common lot of all men. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, weak or strong, or young or old, there is an appointed day. Death is the common lot of all men. But one death stands out from all the rest, and that is the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Others have to die, whether they like it or not, and in almost every case they don't like it. Even the Apostle Peter was one who did not want to die. The Lord Jesus said that when you're an old man, they will take you where you don't want to go and do what you don't want to do. So we have to die. We have no say in the matter. But the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life. He said, "No man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again." So when he died voluntarily. He gave his life. Others die because they are sinners. They die ultimately because of sin. In Adam, all die. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. So we die because we're sinners. He died to atone for sin, the sinless one bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. As John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Others, when they die, are overcome by death. Death defeats their life. Death destroys the union of their body and their soul. Death cuts them off from their friends and their loved ones. Death spells the end of every earthly purpose. We are overcome by death. Not one of us has ever whipped death. However, the Lord Jesus overcame death. In dying, he destroyed death. And him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. How do we know that he overcame death? Remember the word that I quoted from him, "I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take it again." He challenged those who rose up against him in his early ministry, referring to his body as a temple. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And that's exactly what he did. He rose again, bodily, from the grave. The Bible says about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Here is the good news of the death of death in the death of Christ. The good news of the atoning death, the successful propitiatory sacrifice offered by Christ at Calvary, through which he has satisfied God, met the demands of the law, purchased eternal redemption for all his people for whom he gave his life. Jesus Christ died, Jesus Christ rose again. His death has overcome death. To use the words of Paul, he has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Do you know this living Christ? Is he your Savior and your Redeemer? Have you entered into life eternal through him who said, I am the resurrection and the life?
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you have tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you've written to say that the Lord has blessed you or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking the time to do so. Remember that any literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or, why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Places a mark upon a believer, which in effect says this person is in the world but separated off from the world. This person is in the world but is not to commit sin, or what James calls spiritual adultery with the world. This person in the world is yet marked as the very bride of Christ, the very child of God, and is marked with purity and with holiness. That is the mark of the sealing Spirit of God. And I tell you, my friend, that while the degrees of sanctification are obviously different in all believers, the man or the woman who has never borne anything of the mark of Christ in this life needs to be saved. You will not bear that mark of which John spoke in the book of the Revelation, his name upon your forehead, if you don't in this life have the mark of the Holy Spirit of God that marks you as a Christian. First thing the seal does is make a stamp, a mark, an impression. Secondly, the seal of the Holy Ghost is the assurance of divine ownership. Notice, as I was speaking from Song of Solomon chapter 4, that seal upon the sealed fountain said, "This is owned by the man whose mark is upon the seal." That's the message. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, it's interesting that we read of the purchased possession. We should get the order of things here. The teaching is very clear that every person that the blood of Jesus Christ purchases, the Spirit of Jesus Christ seals as belonging to Him. As soon as a man believes in Christ, the Holy Spirit puts that stamp upon him, and that stamp says, "This man belongs to Jesus Christ." Now, just stepping off on a little tangent here, let me say that you'll immediately notice that this is a strong evidence for what we call definite, particular redemption. That is a redemption that's perfectly successful, an atonement that really atones. The Holy Spirit of God will not allow one person whom Christ purchased with His shed blood on the cross to go unpossessed. Every person that Jesus purchased with His blood will be and must be sealed by the Spirit of God and have the stamp of Christ's ownership placed upon him. This is the meaning of the seal. Let me illustrate it from the book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 28. Paul is speaking of going up to Jerusalem to deliver the gifts to the saints there that had been given in the offerings in Macedonia and Achaia. And in verse 28 he says, "When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain." Now he's going up to give them the gifts that had been made over to them by the Christians in Macedonia and Achaia. And he says, "When I have sealed to them this fruit." What does he mean? He says, in effect, when I have placed them in actual possession of the gifts, of this property that has been made over to them. The sealing means to place into the actual possession of a person. And when the Holy Spirit seals us, He is placing us actually into the very possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer had this in mind when he said, "Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me." He possesses His people. Now you'll find that this is oftentimes a great theme in Scripture. I was thinking of the words of Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel." Listen, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Thou art mine." When the Holy Spirit seals a man, He places that man as the actual possession of Christ and stamps upon him the fact that he is owned by the Lord Jesus. Now, that leads us to something that we will look at in more detail in a later study, but it leads us to the whole area of the assurance of salvation. To many people, to say, "I am saved beyond all doubt," reeks of presumption. In fact, even through history, there have been some great preachers who have been scared of too strong a doctrine of assurance. The Protestant reformers were very strong in this doctrine of assurance, and I feel we do well to follow them in this. Is it mere presumption to say, I am saved, I am sure I am saved, I have a good ground to believe I am saved, I have a rock solid certainty that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven? Now, I know there are people who say all those things, and they don't have assurance, and they have no ground of assurance. I have dealt with more people who are looking for assurance when what they need to be looking for is God's salvation. But when a man believes in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit can make him sure. This is the sealing of the Spirit, and he does it in two ways. First of all, he assures the believer of the truth of the gospel's promise. That's the first thing he does. The Westminster Confession of Faith, dealing with the doctrine of Scripture, very rightly says that you may be convinced. And I think the emphasis is upon intellectually being convinced by various arguments that this is the Word of God. The various excellencies, as the Confession calls it, of Scripture gives strong arguments that this is the very inspired, inerrant Word of God. But ultimately, it takes the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God upon the heart to convince the heart of the truth of the Word of God in such a way as to make any real spiritual difference to you. You see, my friend, when the Spirit seals a believer, he makes that believer grasp whatever men say, whatever critics say, whatever theologians say, whatever modernists say, however unable the believer himself may be intellectually and through scholarship to deal with the objections, the Holy Ghost witnesses in his heart, this is the very Word of God. I spoke a minute or two ago about the gift of wisdom and prudence and the knowledge of the mystery of God's will. Well, here it is in operation. The world may stand up, every scientist that the devil ever sent to curse the Word of God may stand up, every ungodly theologian may raise his voice and criticize and deny and curse the Bible. But in the heart of the believer, there is a witness of the Spirit, and the Bible is assured to him to be the very Word of God. I want to tell you, a man is not a Christian who does not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. That man's not saved. Because the Holy Spirit, when he seals a believer, will first and foremost make that believer know that this gospel truth is absolutely sure. And then, having made him sure that this is true, having borne witness in his heart that he can stake his life for time and eternity upon this word, having made him understand that this is a Gibraltar rock that will never be moved, and he can put the full weight of his dependence upon it, when he rests in Christ, the Holy Spirit tells this man that he has personally a saving interest in the promises of the gospel. There is an assurance that comes by looking at the Scriptures and saying, the Bible says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. I have come to Christ, therefore he will not cast me out. That is one line of assurance, and a very important line. That's the Holy Spirit convincing a man of the truth of the promise. But there is a deeper and therefore more precious line of assurance growing out of that. One great Puritan preacher, Thomas Goodwin, said that that line of assurance that comes from saying, for instance, "Him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. I came, therefore he will not cast me out." He says that is discursive, or we would maybe say instructive. That's based on the instruction of the word. Very precious. But he says then there is that deeper assurance that he called intuitive, where the Spirit who wrote that word comes himself and witnesses to my heart, not only is this the very truth of God, but you personally have a vital saving interest in the truth of this gospel. The seal of the Spirit then is the assurance and the evidence of divine ownership.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.